And let's start. Remember to turn off your cell phones. Let's start by reading a psalm together, Psalm 111, as our call to worship. So I will read the light face, and you can read the bold face together as a congregation. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. God, let your praise rise among us today. And we pray that we can be fertile ground for the seed of your word and your truth, and for your love, and for your presence. We pray that we can be your presence to each other today. In Jesus' name, amen. Those who can, please rise and we will sing together.
See you.
As a response to God now, let's say the Lord's Prayer together in all of our languages. Our Father in heaven, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino. Sea hecha tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día y perdona nuestras deudas como también perdonamos a nuestros deudores. Y no nos dejes caer en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por todos los siglos. Amen. And we're going to sing the doxology in Spanish this morning, and this is to receive the offering. And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that we're going to have themes, and we have already had them, of Jesus as our Redeemer. And it happens that the Spanish doxology speaks of the Son as our Redeemer, and so it's very appropriate. Thank you, God, for transforming this word, redeem, that has to do with money and the marketplace, and to change it into being a word of such intimacy and love for in our lives, in the life of your people. And thank you that we are able to express our gratitude to you by giving you some of what you've given to us. And we give you all of ourselves, and specifically this right in this moment, these offerings of our money. And we pray that they will, that this offering will be holy to you, and that you will use it and help us to use it for creating more signs of your kingdom in this world that so much needs your redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The offering box is available at any time during the service, and there's no problem with you getting up just during the time that other people are talking or whatever to give your offering. My name is Ruth, and I'm flying solo today and helping to lead the worship. But as always, it's a reflection of the gifts of many, many people. And we are all here to give to each other today. And specifically right now, we want to welcome folks who are here for the first time or are coming back after a while away from us. We want to know your name and, if possible, where you come from. And if you have anything else that's burning on you to tell us, you can do that as well. So we traditionally start on this side of the room. And I'm not seeing anybody new there, but... Ah, there's a hiding new person.
I'm Jeremy and my wife Julie. Good morning. I'm Jeremy. My wife Julie and I have our niece here. What's your name? Her name is Hazel. You guys probably know her because she had she was born with a heart condition and had open heart surgery and was very tenuous health-wise about a year and a half ago. And praise God, she's pretty much completely healed. So, in no small part, thanks to all of your prayers.
Wonderful. Welcome. How about over here? You all look familiar and beloved. And in this section, I know we have some new folks, and I hope that there's somebody that can help them introduce themselves over there. And, yeah, there are several.
I'm Kate, and I'm a student here from Minnesota.
Welcome. Okay, I hereby decree that if there's a pause, we will clap one by one for people rather than waiting for the whole group.
I'm innocent. I study at Northwestern. I'm from Rwanda.
Welcome.
Her name is Emima, and she's been here for a month and a half. She's from Uganda, and she has 3 kids. Yes. And this is my friend, Mariam. She's from Uganda, too, so she's been here like a year and a half. She's my friend. She came visiting me today. And... this is another family. They came this week. Actually, they have problem when they get to here. One of their child passed away. They were going to Texas. They still here, and they want to come today for worship. His name is Masheshe, and he have 3 kids. And I think when is the time they can have time to pray for them. Okay, they have 5 kids.
Maybe they could each say their name with the microphone. Yeah.
Nawasalimia kwa jina ya Yesu habari. Okay. Hawa ni familia yangu. Kwa jina nilikuwa nimekamata safari lakini kukaa hapa nilipata shida. Lakini wenye wanabaki ndio hawa. Wa kwanza ndio huyo anaitwa Dunga na Nyaimana. ndiye wa kwanza. Wa pili ndiye huyu anaitwa Jovia Muhawe. Ndiye wa pili. Wa tatu ndiye huyu anaitwa Kabodese Ndiyumva. Huyu anaitwa Jeremia Davidi. Huyu ndiyo mwenye anafuata ule marehemu mwenye anakingali hapa, mwenye alikufa njoo anaitwa Tumusifu Jeremia. Huyu ndiyo kwa hivyo watambua. Efa ni Davidi.
David, the child who... yeah, could somebody please interpret the names and, yeah, for everyone? Or just
okay.
Tell us.
His name is Ntabarisha Masheche. Okay.
Maojovia. Yirahimaku. Was it the knee? Send you back a board.
Thank you.
It's a shimwe. Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
My name is Claire. I'm originally from Rwanda. I work with refugees, and I'm happy to come today with you guys. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I'm Diana, and I'm from Houston.
Nani leo jina langu naitwa Tewakanya Rusi. Mungu awabariki.
Good morning everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Anthony Bizimungu. We are from Uganda. This one is my wife and that one is my boy. And we are happy today to come and celebrate with you. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Are we complete here?
Thank you. I'm not very new. I'm Michael. I teach Swahili at Northwestern, but today I have two Swahili students. Let me pass it on to them so that they can say hi. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I'm a student at Northwestern.
Hi, I'm Carlin. I'm also a student at Northwestern.
Welcome. We are all students of each other's language, and so it's you're just fitting right in. So my name is Ruth Goring, and I think we've gotten your names. And now we would like to take time to pass the peace of Christ to one another. And we use many languages to do so. And if you can pick up one that's not your own this morning, then that would be great. But feel free to just use your own language if you would like. And don't be surprised if somebody else greets you with a different language. We take a few minutes and stand up and say these to each other. And I will run through them quickly so that you can see that you're not the only one who doesn't know how to pronounce everything. La paix de Dieu soit avec toi.
Soit avec toi.
Si. Santa Piep. Amahoro imana. Christi me marahun. La paz de Cristo sea con ustedes. Masi ke shanti apkomile. Amani yamungo iwenanyi. Manpas bashoma. The peace of Christ be with you. Greet one another with the peace of Christ.
If y'all could return to your seats. I love all this greeting and passing the peace of Jesus to one another that we do here. And we also have a lot else going on this morning that I wanted to share with you about and things we need to pray for. So Indra, not to put you on the spot or anything, but maybe you could make your way up to the front so that you can come on up. I mean, to put you on the spot, but. My name is Kristen Jackson, and I'm one of the pastors here at Living Water Community Church. And it is a joy to worship with all of you here this morning. Thank you for coming. I have a number of prayer requests and announcements about the life of this church congregation that I wanted to spend a little time on, and there's several this morning. The first one is a little sad, which is a goodbye to Indra. Indra has been a beloved member of our congregation for around four years. And he served for a time as an elder back a while ago, and he's served as a leader among our Nepali youth, and he's been a friend to many of us. He's been one of the bridge builders between our Nepali sisters and brothers and those of us that don't speak Nepali, which has been a huge gift. So he will be really missed. You want to say anything about what's up?
Hi, Jai Masi to you all. Today, I'm here to say, not formally, like informally goodbye. Hopefully, I will see you guys in coming time. Amen. And I'm surely going to miss you all. Thank you for your love, support, and prayer during my and my family lifetime here in Chicago. And I'm going to miss you all. And there are so many beautiful moments. Miss you too, Chris, and miss you all. I'll tell on details. There is in process. So there are many beautiful moments that I passed together with you guys. I will remember it, which will be in my heart, since wherever I will be, as also God with us wherever we go, as He will lead wherever we will be. So during our past days, we spent a beautiful moment together, and that will be the memorable one. Distance doesn't matter, but our remarkable and memories will always last forever as God is with us. So I would like to thanks to you all, and please keep me and my family in prayers, and surely I will also pray for you all, and let accomplish the and work for the kingdom of God wherever we will be. And God bless you all. And we are moving to Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you, Chris, for reminder. So we are going to Cincinnati, Ohio this October 14. So it sounds like I also can't believe how fast the process went. But thanks God. And also, you know, I feel something different, like, since I'm going to miss you all. But also, in overall, I'm glad, I'm joyful to spend my new steps of life, not only mine, but my family and also my relative lives over there. And once again, thank you all, Pastor Christian, and all the elders, leaders, and all the members of Living Water Community Church for your love and prayer support for last around 4 years. And my greeting and regards and joy mercy to all the new members, those who know me formally and informally, directly or indirectly. I'm going to miss you all. Thank you all. And God bless you all. Please pray for our journey and our family. Thank you all.
Let's pray.
Thank you.
Jesus, God, you go with us wherever we go. You promise to accompany us on our journey, and we know that you are already in Cincinnati and that you will walk with Indra the whole way. And we pray that you would bless him on his new life in Cincinnati, and that you would bless the life that he has there with his sisters and new sisters and brothers that he meets, with his blood family that he's going to be there with. Pray that you would provide Indra with good employment, with family, with all the things that he needs. We thank you for this beloved brother. In your name, Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Jamesy. Next thing, I would like to invite the family that just arrived from Congo to come forward so we can pray for them. I cannot even imagine what it must have been like to lose a son while traveling to a whole new land. And I'd especially like to invite, once they come forward, if there are a few folks in this church that speak Kinyarwanda who would be willing to come on up and pray for them, I'd appreciate it if you could come forward and do that. We are glad you're here with us today. Thank you for coming.
Ninaomba wale wanaweza kuomba katika lugha ya Kiswahili au Kinyarwanda ili waweze kupita mbele. We can pray for them. Mbele tunawapa pole ndugu zetu. Tunawapa pole ndugu zetu ambao wamepatwa na shida, lakini Mungu atakuwa pamoja nanyi. Asante sana. Acha tuombe. Baba, katika jina la Yesu, tunaleta familia hii katika mkono wako. Ingawa wamepatwa na shida tofauti, mioyo yao imeumia na kukata tamaa, lakini najua kama wewe Baba ni mponyaji, unaweza kuponya roho zao. Utaenda kuwaunga mkono, utaenda kuwapa nguvu ili waweze kutenda mambo ya ushujaa. Utaweza kuwaposha machozi yao. Baba, katika jina la Yesu, tunaomba ili waweze kuwafarijika, ili waweze kufariji katika neno lako Baba. Na tuna matumaini kama mtoto ambaye ametuacha, tutakuja kumuona katika ufalme wa mbingu. Umemwambia mfalme wako Daudi, Eti mtoto wako hatarudi ila wewe ndio utaenda mbinguni ili muweze kupatana pamoja. Baba, katika jina la Yesu, tunaomba nguvu katika familia hii. Tunaomba kufarijika katika familia hii. Tunaomba Baba ili waweze kuwapa nguvu za kutenda kila jambo. Maana mwizina rya Yesu Kristu, turabasabira umugisha, turabasabira imbaraga, turabasabira humure mu mitima yabo, turabasabira mwami kugira ngo babashe guhumurika umunsi umwe n'ibyiringiro bifatika yuko bazabona umwana wabo bari kumwe mu bwami bw'Imana. Nuko abana babo tubashize mu kuboko kwawe, umuryango babyeye tubashize mu kuboko kwawe kugira ngo babashe kubona ihumure ryawo Mana. Turagushimiye Mana kuko uri kumwe natwe mu izina rya Yesu.
Turagushima tugwa icyubahiro kuri Imana ihambaye data uja. Turagushima kuri ugira neza kandi ubuntu n'imbabazi zari byiza data. Mana turi imbere y'ubwiza bwawe, nta wundi wabishobora atari mwami, nta wundi wabaye impumuriza atari we data uja. Mana ubagenderere kandi ubiteho n'iki gihe batangiye muri kino gihugu. Mana ubane nabo kandi ubarwanirire. Urakoze Mana, urakoze kwa tugize umwe, urakomeze gukomeza kuturwanira, urakoze kwemeye ko tuza muri presence yawe umunsi. Mana utugendere kandi ubane natwe ni mu izina rya Yesu. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. There's so many things. Another thing I would like to pray about this morning is that those of us that live in the city of Chicago and have children that are in the Chicago public schools probably already know that there's a reasonably good chance that the teachers may go on strike this week. And I would just like to pray that this dispute gets resolved quickly and with justice for all sides. And fairly, and I'd like to pray that there is not a strike, because that's not good for the kids. So let's just pray. God, you see all sides. You know this situation. And we pray that you would work in the hearts of those who are decision makers in our city, with the people at the teachers union and the city budget and the state budget and all of the decision makers that are negotiating this teacher's contract. I pray, God, that you would bring this to a peaceful and quick resolution that's fair, and that keeps our kids in school. In your name, Jesus. Amen. A few announcement type things. One is our youth pastor, Stephen Lamb, who is not here because his wife just had a baby. Woo! But that gives us a chance to do a few secret things without him here. One is that we are going to give him a gift of a game that's being made for him. That's this really cool game that the kids play at Menohaven. And we're collecting money for that. So we still need about another $100 to have enough money to pay for that. So if you would like to make a contribution towards this gift for Pastor Stephen Lamb, you can either, you can stick the money in the offering as long as there's like a note or something attached to it so we know that it's specifically going to Stephen's gift. Or you can also, same thing, stick it in our mailbox. You can just give the money to Susie, who's waving her hand, our bookkeeper. She will collect money if you just give it to her, and she'll know what it's, she can tell her what it's for. The other thing that we're doing today, secret preparations, is Emily, where's Emily? There you are. Emily has set up over at the table, right where Pastor Samrock is, a bunch of, you just hear you say it.
So we are collecting for Pastor Stephen cards of affirmation. And so if you have a memory with Pastor Stephen or just something that you appreciate about him, you can write it on a card, and we'll give all the cards to him on the celebration of his ordination, and then he can read them and feel good about himself until he's old and gray.
Thank you. And that ordination celebration day is in 2 weeks, October 23. Today, my husband Julian and I would love to invite any of you who are kind of newish around here to come on over to our house for lunch. We'd love to get to know you. So please come. We live at 6619 Newgard. It is, help me, 3 blocks down Pratt and 2 blocks south on Newgard. If you've been around a little while and you know where we live, or even if you don't know where we live and you want to help point people in that direction, I would really appreciate that. So please come if you can. Ron, can you come on up and make an announcement about the elder nominations? Oh, actually, and while we are also here, is Gabriel, Baba Charles, are you here? We have a few things to say about our elders group, which is the leaders of the whole church. Gabriel, Baba Charles, has been an elder for the last 3 years. And in our church, you are chosen to serve as an elder for 3 years, and then you can say, you're done. And Baba Charles has done his 3 years as an elder. And we just would like to thank him because he has really been a gift to our elders group. You want to add to that, Willie?
I've really appreciated Gabriel in terms of his presence with the elders and for his knowledge of our members and just for the good questions that he asks and the good perspective that he brings. And so we're really going to miss Gabriel here in our gatherings, and we'll continue to look to Gabriel here for counsel and advice as we go forward. Let's pray. Lord, okay, please.
Good morning, church. I want to say for Swahili because some they don't know what is going on here.
You know, can I ask Rachel? Because we want to say lots of good things about you, and you shouldn't be the one to say those.
Okay. Urabona bagombye kunshimira. Ndahora andu muje inama buri kanisa imyaka itatu none ndagombye gufata break ndagombye kuruhuka nico gituma turahaba mpaye na certificate kabamo kunshimira kugikwa twakoranye neza muri iyo myaka itatu.
Okay, all right, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for our brother Gabriel and for his family and for the ways that your hand has been upon them, for the ways that they have shared your gifts with us, and the ways that they continue to do that. And so, Lord, we ask that you would prosper Gabriel and his family going forward, even as Gabriel steps off of the elders. And so we pray that you would bring new people to replace Gabriel and our other elders who are leaving, and that you would continue to build up your body here by the gifts of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so as Kristen mentioned, we are starting a process of electing new elders here for our body. We currently have 3 openings on our elders' body. And so we are going to be handing out nomination sheets today and asking people to think and pray about who would be good persons to serve as elders for the next 3 years. We have a sheet here describing that process as well as then a nomination process. The nominations are open to for anyone who is a member of the congregation. However, as elders, we, I think, are feeling particularly the need for more women on the elders' body, more as in right now we don't have any women elders, so we'd like several, just so that Kristen doesn't feel alone and that we have those voices in our midst as well. We're also feeling the need for one or more elders from our African members to augment our voice as well. And so those are the needs that our current elders are feeling need for, and we just put that out there for you for as you pray and consider who God would call to be elders in this next period of time. So we're passing out the nomination forms today. We're asking that those be returned to the church office by the 30th of this month, and then the elders will be looking at the names nominated, and then we will be presenting to the congregation a slate with 10 names on it, approximately 10 names, of people that were nominated and some of the reasons why they were nominated for a congregational vote in November. Have we set the date for that yet? Yes, in November. And so more information about that actual date will be forthcoming.
So we'll be also explaining this in Swahili, in the Swahili group, and in Khmer, in the Cambodian group. And so this letter and also this form for nominating will be available at the table right where Julian's standing, and it will also be passed out in those language group classes. Okay. Yeah. I'm really sorry we don't have that list ready for today, but we know we need it, and it will be emailed and sent out this week. Sorry about that. I think at this time we can dismiss the children to their Sunday school classes and everyone to their groups. Can someone start us on the right pitch?
I am foreseeing that the day may come soon when the English speakers go back there and the Kiswahili folks stay in here. So they may be singing this to us, or maybe they'll have a different song that they'll sing to us, which is fabulous. This morning, our sister Letitia Maxwell is going to share the word with us. So I'm inviting her up here, and I will pray for you, Letitia. And I think I got the microphone to about the right height there. Yeah. God, thank you so much for our sister and for her wisdom and her years of knowing you and learning about you, and thank you specifically for the contemplation of your word that she has done in preparation to share with us. We pray that you will give her freedom and power and release and the presence of your spirit in her to so that we hear what you have for us today. And we pray that we can be receptive to that word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you like this?
Rather
hold it in here.
have to get my notes here. Oh. I know. So good to see everyone. Our Redeemer lives. Let us rise, his praises rise among you. That was a beautiful song. Thank you, Ruth, for that prayer. Thank you, sisters and brothers in my Bible study group. See them all here. All right, most of them, a lot of them. Okay. Last week, our brother introduced us to the book of Ruth, and I think he gave us a good sermon on the book of Ruth. I'm supposed to continue that. And the book of Ruth is such a short story that one would wonder, oh, why do we need to do it 2 weeks? Yeah. You could do it after. You want to? Yeah. You can come on, dude. Yeah. That's okay.
Oh, there's not that many of us. The text, we've just chosen this short text, or Letitia chose this short text from chapter 4 of Ruth, verses 14 through 17. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, as I was saying, one would wonder why we go to this little story 2 weeks. But it has so much in it that sometimes, because of the brevity of the story, we just pass over and we don't stop to really analyze or really meditate on some of what is said. You know, as a girl, which is so long ago, I used to like the story of Ruth. And verse 16 to 17, I called it Ruth's Declaration. I learned it by heart, and I love to say it in the King James because it was so beautiful, just like a poem, you know. So I would say, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me in thee." So, you know, happily singing along, not even thinking too much of what it means, but it sounds so good, you know, and so we just sang it. But it's more to it than that. You know, the story concerns 2 different cultures, Israel and Moab. We know a lot about Israel. Do we know a lot about Moab? So I'm going to briefly say something about the Moabites, because we call Ruth the what? Moabites, woman from Moabite. You know, they were the descendants of Lot. You remember Lot, Abram's nephew, that he took with him when God called him and said, "Leave your country, go to one which I will show you." He took Lot with him. It's a long story, but after they have been all about Egypt, Canaan, they had so much cattle and, not cattle, what do you call it, those, the flocks, herd, sheep, goats, that they couldn't stay together. And Lot was so selfish, he chose all the well-watered plains, because Abram, a man of God, he said, you choose, and I'll take what's left. And this young nephew, so selfish, he chose the best place. And it put him right smack in Sodom and Gomorrah. So that was, you know, that was a wicked city. And when the Lord was destroying about Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot prayed and asked God to spare his, Abraham prayed and asked God to spare his son, his nephew, Lot. God did that. But Lot lost all his herds, everything, his home. His wife became a pillar of salt. He was left with his two daughters, and they lived in a cave somewhere. And the two daughters said, look, oh, there's no other men around. What are we going to do? Our father's lineage has to be preserved. So they hatched up a plan to get him drunk and each one slept with him, and they had two sons. The eldest daughter had Moab, and he became the father of the Moabites. The second one had, I think he was named what, Ben-Ami or something, but he became the father of the Ammonites. And those two nations, or whatever you call them, they were a thorn in the flesh to Israel. And you wonder, because ancestrally, they were related. Because, you know, Israel is direct descendant of Abraham. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons that became 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? And I don't know why they hated Israel. They hated Israel with a passion. And so much so that when Israel left Egypt and was traveling through the wilderness, they said, no, you're not passing through our territory. It was very harsh to them. Very, very harsh. One of the Moabites kings even called a magician to curse Israel. Probably because they knew Israel was a chosen one, chosen people. I don't know, but they hated them. And thankfully, God turned that curse into a blessing. Now, these people were horrible pagan people. Idols. They worship all sorts of idols. Their chief god was Chemosh, and their worship was filled with all sorts of lewd acts. They even had human sacrifice. Horrible, horrible. So horrible that God told the Israelites not to have anything to do with them. And there is a passage here that I would like to read. In Deuteronomy 23, 3 to 6, this is what God told them. No Ammonite or Moabite, that's from the two sons of Lot, or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt, and they hired Balaam to curse you, to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord was good. He would not listen. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing, because the Lord your God loves you. Now listen to this last. Do not seek a treaty or friendship with them as long as you live. Isn't that something? As long as you live, you can think that would be coming from the Lord. Don't seek any treaty with them. But, you know, the Lord is not going to be with you unless you change your ways. So I interpret that to mean that as they are, pagans, worshiping their idols, you know, unless they change. Because Ruth was welcomed in Israel. And we're going to see why. And now, I don't think I need to summarize the story, because most of you know it. So it's just a few main points. Elimelech took his family to Moab because there was a famine in the land. Then Elimelech died. Then his sons got married to two of the women in Moab. They died. Naomi and the two daughters-in-law were left destitute. No male to support them, nothing to do. And poor Naomi, she says, what am I going to do now? She thought the only thing is to do is go back to her country, especially since she had heard that the famine was over. And one daughter-in-law went with her, Ruth, who is the heroine of this story. The other went back home. And the other part is so beautiful. We met Boaz, this wealthy landowner, and they got married. And the piece that Ruth read, they had this son, Obed, who was the grandfather of King David, and so is included in the ancestry of Jesus Christ, because you know that Christ is from the line of David. Okay. All right. Now, why do we study this? What does God want to tell us? You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it says, all scripture. I know it's Paul was speaking primarily of the Old Testament, because at the time he wrote this, very little of the New Testament was in existence. So he was really referring to primarily to the Old Testament. So let's see what we can get from this, if we can apply this to Ruth, the story of Ruth. Hebrews again, where Paul is, some say it's Paul writing, some say not Paul wrote it, but we say Paul. It says in 4:12, it says, the word of God is living, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it goes on to say, penetrates, and it judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Okay? So, this story has the main characters in there, Elimelech, because he started it. Then we have Naomi, and we have Ruth, and we have Boaz. The rest kind of die along the way. Okay, so let's start with Elimelech and look at him. The story said he sojourned. I'm talking about my King James, because I like it. It's just written. He sojourned to Moab. I think the NIV said he went to live for a time in Moab. Why? Because there was a famine in the land. No, his name meant God is king. He was supposed to be a devout Jew. And you would wonder, why would he be taking his family to this horrible, horrible place after what I read to you from Deuteronomy? Why? His neighbors weren't leaving. They stayed there and waited out. They should have been accustomed to that, because you know how God dealt with Israel. When they disobey, he withholds his hand and they suffer. Then they repent and then he stretches it out and they are blessed and everything is well. You know, all that. So he should just wait it out. But for some reason he says, well, I'm going there to live for a while. Notice that for a while, meaning to return. He didn't return. We wonder. We can only wonder why he did that. Because as I was thinking about it, I said, did he think about how he would worship God in that country? Or was he prepared to worship according to the Moabites' way of worship? We don't know. But I leave that for you to think about why. And we could come up with 100 different reasons. Naomi, we don't know at the beginning whether she was anxious to go or whatever. We only know that she had to go. Her husband was going, her main support, her sons, she had to go. But Later on, we find out that she didn't. Because after she was brought to ruin, almost ruined, by the death of her husband and her sons, she said some things in the story which made us think that she wasn't so hot about going to Moab in the first place. In verses 1 to 13, chapter 1, verse 13, she was speaking to her daughters-in-law, and she says, "It's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has gone out against me." So that gives you an inclination that she was thinking that she shouldn't have gone there. And more than anything else, she had to go back to Israel, to Bethlehem, leaving the bodies of her husband and her sons buried in this old God-forsaken place. And you know, in the Israelites, where they are buried was very important to them, you know? And so we see here that she didn't really want to go. In verse 20 of chapter 1, she said, "Don't call me Naomi," which means, I think, pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Lord has made me bitter." And I just think, oh, I said, poor woman. Anyway, she decided, she heard that the Lord had visited his people. That means, and the storm, the famine was over. That's why I was saying in the first place that Elimelech knew that the Lord would eventually visit. Why did he pick up and go there? We don't know. Human nature. Okay? And so she decided to return. She bade her farewell to her two daughters-in-law. She said, "No, you go back. You have a different way of living. Stay with your family. You will be better off." She prayed for them. They wept. Oprah, or whatever her name is, Orpah, thank you. She said, "Okay, bye-bye," went back home. But Ruth clung to her and then said her famous words, which I was repeating in the, "Entreat me not to leave thee," you know. So Naomi listened, and Ruth was declaring that your God is going to be my God. So Naomi thinks, how could I stop her from coming with me? I can't leave her here. Because I suppose Naomi was distressed at her daughters-in-law culture and how they lived and worshipped all these idols and these lewd conducts and whatever. So she was happy to hear that. She stopped urging Ruth. She stopped. Just the type of person Naomi was. She was godly. She was godly, godly woman, okay? So, she and Ruth took their journey to Bethlehem. One commentary I read said that Ruth renouncing her family, because she had to renounce her family and everything she had in Moab, is a picture of Jesus, is a shadow of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 19:29, when Jesus said, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." That's so true. Okay, so Ruth, who is the heroine, she had an impeccable character. She went with her mother-in-law, and she was determined to take care of this older woman. So as soon as she went to Bethlehem, she said, "Well, how are we going to eat? How are we going to live?" So she said to her mother-in-law, "Can I go out into the fields to get some of the grains that fall from the harvesters, the barley field?" So she went out. It so happened that she went into a very, very, very good field. It was belonging to Boaz, who was related to Naomi's husband, Elimelech. And she worked so hard. She worked so hard. That one commentary says that the amount she collected in that first day, after you thresh it and weigh it and sell it, it would be equal to a half a month's wage. She was so industrious. She was determined. Where did she get all this attitude from, growing up in that horrible, horrible culture? You can see the hand of God, even from her declaration, "Your God." Poor Ruth, she says, "Oh, it has to be better than where I'm coming from." So she went. Thank you. Oh, my friend. Thank you. Yeah. Now, she was totally surrendered to the task. Totally. And Boaz noticed it. And he encourages men. He says, "Leave her alone. Even drop some extra grains for her." You know? And he said to her, "Stay with my servant, girls." He tried to protect her. So at the first glance, we see Boaz here as a kind of grandfather. a wealthy man, but a godly man, one who loves his workers, interested in the welfare of others, kind, and so on. But before I go on, I want us to notice two things where God's providence was very, very evident. First, Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. And the second was that she found herself accidentally, it wasn't by plan, working in the field of Boaz. And those two things are very, very important in this story. So we go on about Boaz now. At first glance, we just see him as this wealthy man who is so kind and so on. But his most important duty in this story was being what they called a kinsman redeemer. Kins, you know, your kin, kinsman redeemer. And the Jews paid a lot of attention to this. It's very important in their culture. Now, who was this kinsman? Who is a kinsman redeemer? What does he do? He's usually a prominent male in the family, and he takes care of all the poor and the needy so that his family's honor would be protected. Family meant a lot to the Jewish people. Okay? And some of the things he did was like, if one family member was so poor that he had to sell his land outside of the family, this kinsman redeemer would buy back the land for him so that it stays in the family. And another important thing he did was if a family member was sold into slavery, he would pay the redemption price to get that person out of slavery. And that's where we start to looking at the Redeemer, what our Redeemer does, right? He pays the ransom money to get them out of slavery. And if somebody was killed in his family, he seeks some sort of a retribution for them, or saw that the person who killed was punished. He avenges the killing. And another important thing, he would provide care for a male who died, family member, who died without leaving children. And he would provide a male for that family, so that for that brother or relative, so that his family line could continue. All right. So, Ruth is filled with the word redeemer, redemption. I didn't count them, but I read that there are about 23 times the word redemption is mentioned. And Ruth has, 85 verses? So you'd say, ooh, it must be mentioned quite a lot of time. Quite a lot of time. Naomi, let's look at a turning point in this story. In verse, I find it here. In chapter 2, verse 20, when Ruth came home, told Naomi that where she was working, Ruth was so happy. She says, oh, he's a close relative of ours and one of our kinsmen redeemer. That was a critical turning point. Another time, I think it was in another verse, she says, I don't remember the other verse, but she was sure to point out to Ruth that the field she was working in belonged to one of her kinsmen redeemer. And I'm sure she proceeded to tell Ruth who is a kinsman redeemer, what he does, and so on. Because as you see in the story, she was really, really teaching Ruth all sorts of things. And I think Ruth probably followed her from the first place because she was impressed by her mother-in-law. Because who's going to follow your mother-in-law unless she is very impressed? Yeah, probably that's what Oprah went home. She was like any of us. I'm going with that lady. I'm going home. But there was somewhere in Ruth a conviction. And this I call the hand of God. You know, and so in verse 2:12, you also you see where Boaz was so intrigued with Ruth. He loved her. He was not, inappropriate love, but he showed her that he respected her, and he gave her gifts, he gave her extra gains, and so on. And in one verse, she prayed for a Ruth. She says, what the verse says, I think it was in 2:12. She says, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And in verse 3-9, before I go to that, I would say, you know, we have the wings of refuge is very, very important in the scripture. In Psalm 91, speaking to the security of those who trust in God, it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Jesus himself, somewhere in Matthew 23, says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So this is very, very important. And during the relationship they are going on with Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, one time Naomi wants to set up Ruth so that Boaz would see that your responsibility is here. Take care of her, marry her, whatever. So he told Ruth that while they were doing the threshing, you know, the harvesting, they would get very, very happy, and they would drink and they eat. So she says, after one of those nights, when he drinks and is happy and he goes to lie down, you quietly go lie at his feet and uncover his feet. In the night, Boaz woke up. She says, who is this? Because he saw her sleeping. She says, I'm your maid servant, Ruth. Cover me with the corner of your garment. And after read here, thanks to Kristen, after read here that what that means, because it says here that corner of your garment, which is Kenep is closely associated with Kenepim, which means wings of refuge. So when Ruth says, cover me with the corner of your garment, she was really asking Boaz, take me under your wings. Take me under your wing of refuge. And I think that was a starting point of which Boaz realized that he had to redeem her. And I'm not going into the story, but you know, there was another kinsman redeemer. He went out and he says, well, you are first in line. Redeem Naomi, let her get back her land. I don't know what had happened to Naomi's land, if it was sold or whatever, but she didn't have it. He says, redeem Naomi's land. That other kinsman redeemer says, I will do it. Then he says, and you have to marry the widow. And he says, no, I can't do that. So he says, you redeem. So Boaz did what he had to do. He redeemed Ruth. What else am I to say? Now, remember that a kinsman redeemer pays the price for a family member sold into slavery. And this kinsman redeemer function is in the Old Testament, is an illustration of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. And why I pointed out that he paid the price for a family member who was sold to slavery, he paid the price to take him out. I wanted to concentrate on the fact that Jesus is our human kinsman. He came to earth, he became like us, he became a brother, and then what he did? He paid the price on Calvary to redeem us from what? From our slavery to sin. And so the whole point of this story, I think, most important point, is the story of redemption, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. See, Paul was skillful when he wrote that thing about the Word of God. New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. We have the excellent kinsman redeemer. The Old Testament had a human. We have God, the Son of God, as our redeemer. Because of that redeeming by Jesus Christ, we are accepted and adopted as daughters and sons of God with all the advantages of a child of God. Beloved, one writer says we were accepted in the beloved. Take care, we have protection, we have maintenance in every way, preservation, every way, sustenance, everything we have in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's why this morning we talk so much about redemption, because this is the most important thing in our lives as Christians. Without that redemption, we would have stayed in that slavery to sin. And coming back to Ruth, one commentary says that Ruth is a picture of a sinner redeemed by grace. And that's why Ruth wasn't excluded, as Deuteronomy says, exclude those pagan Moabites. Don't fellowship with them. Ruth had a complete turnaround. She left everything. She forsook the idol worship, everything. And she put her trust in the one true God. She threw herself at the mercy of the Redeemer. Physically, that's what she does in the picture. And it shows us how we have to come to Christ. Renounce all the sinful living. Throw ourselves in humility at the feet of Christ. A complete turnaround. and go in his direction. You know, in Bible study class, we were talking about, I see them here, we're talking about repenting. Repent and don't just say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It means I'm sorry for the deed, and I'm going to walk away from it. A complete turnaround. And that's why Ruth, the story of Ruth is so important. And as we read in the verses that Ruth read a while, Ruth, we have a Ruth there. Ruth read a while ago. All is well now for Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth. Boaz married her. They had this son, Obed. He was the grandfather of David. And though, if you look in the genealogy of Christ, you see that in there. That Ruth begat Obed, Obed begat David, Jesse, I think. And then Jesse begat David. So he was the grandfather of David. And all our Redeemer comes from the line of David. What can I say about this? I'm going to close. But there is a song that is written based on Psalm 91:4. You remember I read that? Which says, he will cover you with his feathers, meaning the Redeemer, and under his wings you will find refuge. And there is a song, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read two verses from it. Come on. The song is called Under His Wings. And as I said, it's based on Psalm 91:4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. It says, some of you probably can sing it. Under his wings I'm safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. Here again, a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I'm blessed. And the chorus is so sweet. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul abide, safely abide. Forever. I hope that we are joyfully enjoying being under the Savior's wings. Thank you. Thank you.
We have 5 minutes, so this is just a few minutes. If you have an urgent prayer request, and I want you to keep praying for Aleppo, please. If you've listened to the news, it's just worse and worse. Thank you. Whatever your need is has to be as bad as Aleppo. God cares about all of our needs. So please, feel free to share anything that you think that we need to know about to pray for. Or if you have a response to this meditation on on the Book of Ruth.
Thank you so much, Leticia. I love remembering with this story that, Naomi could have said her story was, I had sons and I had a husband and then they died. But the end of the story is not that. The end of the story that we started with is that Naomi is restored to being a mother and a grandmother because the child is given to her and she... Yeah, there's redemption in that. So I feel like it's an invitation to remember that in stories that seem finished and done and sad and bad, that God is still at work. So I receive that message for our nation and for this. It feels like more than just an election season. It feels terrible. It feels hopeless. It feels disgusting. It feels really disheartening and hard to know how to hold this moment in our collective history, as well as like the conversations between people who are believers and who are not, as well as those conversations between believers about everything, which I don't need to mention. I'm really glad I'm going to be on a retreat tonight, and I won't be listening to the conversation. But I want to ask for prayer because I don't even know how to say it all, but I think you guys know. So will you pray for, I don't even know. How to hold this, you know?
Yeah. God, have mercy. Mm-hmm. That is the word that comes to mind. We thank you that you are a merciful God and that you name yourself that over and over and over again in the scripture. We pray for your mercy. We pray for I'm going to pray right now for the many women who have been attacked and violated and whose feelings about that are just being triggered by the actual national discourse that we're having. I pray, God, for your comfort and your redemption in their lives, and I pray that you would bring the strength of women. Pray that right now, seeing the story of Ruth and how you worked through these women. And made them key parts of your story of salvation and redemption and redeeming the world. And I pray that many of us could be part of that story here in rising up in justice and righteousness and speaking truth in this moment of our country's process. We pray against all the forces of narcissism and corruption and violation of human beings, despising of human beings, of their dignity and their value.
whether that's because of their ethnic origin or because of their religion or because of their gender. God, I pray that that your purposes and your people would be able to shine in the midst of this, and that you would center us in you and give us words and a way of being that comes from that comes from our being centered in you. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would close our lips or our fingers whenever we are tempted to contribute something that's not helpful in this national conversation. Have mercy on us, God. We have to trust you here. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our structures of democracy or our balance of powers or anything here. We trust you only to help us to make it through this turning point in our history. We ask you for wisdom, and we ask you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. I have a benediction to read over all of us. Let your words and your lives be one in Christ. And may the God of lasting love open the way before you. May Jesus, the Messiah, be your one Redeemer. And may the Holy Spirit lead you on into the promised land of God's rule and God's glory. Amen. Go in peace.